This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Easter weekend saw the reigning premiers rise again. The Saints continue their ascendancy. A massive torp under the lid, a dramatic goal line save, and best of all, $23 million raised for the Royal Children's Hospital. And now with the weekend positives out of the way, it's time to bring in Tom Brown for all the news going on in the footy world. My name's Rudy. I've got Tommy here before he jets off for Gather Round. And Tom, some breaking tribunal news.
Yeah, some breaking tribunal news this morning, Rudy. Harry Mackay has elected to appeal his one-match ban for bumping Harry Cheezel, which will be an interesting case. A couple of the angles show that he had his arms out as he collided with Cheezel, so I'd suggest he'll struggle on that appeal, but it's an interesting test case, particularly on that height differential, which I'm sure he'll point out at the tribunal. Big Harry's a fair bit taller than Harry Cheezel. Anyway, we'll find out how all that proceeds, but Carlton have elected to challenge that one-match ban, Rudy.
All right, one to keep an eye on there. Now, Tommy, let's move on to the footy from the weekend. We'll start with yesterday, Easter Monday, the Cats finally. First win of the year.
Yeah, the Cats have broken this premiership hangover, if you like. They did it courtesy of a 10 unanswered goal third quarter in particular. 15 goals to one after halftime. The final margin, 82 points. It was an absolute annihilation in the end. The Hawks, in fairness, were competitive in the first half, but basically disappeared after halftime. The big story, of course, was Jeremy Cameron. He's been carrying the Cats basically for the best part of the season. I spoke to Patrick Dangerfield afterwards. He thinks that Jeremy's the best player in the competition at the moment, and who could disagree with that? He covers so much of the ground. He's up one end, up the other, incredibly athletic. But he kicked 7 goals yesterday, had 22 touches, and did manage to collide, which you would have seen with the umpire celebrating the 7th goal in the last quarter. I think it was the boundary umpire. Anyway, I don't expect anything too serious would come from that. You can get fined, Rudy, for accidentally collecting the umpires. You do have a duty of care, and he wasn't looking where he was going, but it would be a big shame if there was any significant fallout from that. Perhaps a minor fine at most, Rudy. Just in terms of some Geelong stats, if you like, I know you've put these in here, Rudy. They're not bad. Plus 57 disposals in the third quarter, plus 23 contested possessions in the first quarter, 21 more inside 50s, this is all in the third quarter, 15 more scoring shots and 10 more clearances. Gary Rowan, I expect, will be in trouble for that fling tackle on Jaith, and Will Day for a sling on Brad Close potentially. So keep an eye on those two. Blixarves was injured early in a clash with ruckman Lloyd Meek, and Chris Scott had this to say on the ruck, I guess, tactics, if you like, and the memo that went out from the AFL after the game. He wasn't pleased.
I don't want to see the guy get suspended. It doesn't help us anyway. Like, that sense of, like, just stop doing it. That should be the message from the AFL. The disappointing thing is they sent out a memo specifically 2 weeks ago saying you couldn't do it, and it keeps happening. It's so dangerous.
So Blixarves came back on, which was good in the second quarter, but there was context, obviously. Reece Stanley had been injured a couple of weeks earlier after a collision with De Koning. So Scott was obviously already onto this, as was the AFL, and it took place again yesterday. Rudy?
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
Paddy McCartan, perhaps the biggest talking point of the weekend, Rudy. Unfortunately, he suffered his 9th or 10th concussion, depending how you classify last year's when he got to Sydney. He suffered 8 at St Kilda, and they retired him. One issue I picked up over the weekend, and Lee Montagna addressed this on the Sunday Rub, was obviously how innocuous the incident on Saturday night was. And this was similar at St Kilda when people, I think it was up at Ballarat, witnessed him hit a player's stomach and then couldn't basically walk afterwards. And this was Joey Montagna addressing that on Triple M over the weekend.
And I remember his last concussion, he got at St Kilda. We thought it was very innocuous. He actually hit someone's stomach in a marking contest, and that was enough for him to have concussion. And that was it. That was the final time that he ever played for St Kilda. For the long-term health of Paddy, as a friend, I am concerned, because I've got mates, the teammates that I play with, who have got some serious effects of concussion that's affected their life post-football. Yeah. And he's got a lot longer to go post-football in his life than he does playing the game.
Rudy, that was Lee Montagna's recollection of that incident, and obviously he's a close friend of Paddy, so has unique insight on this situation, Joey. In terms of Sydney, they're one of the best-run clubs in the competition. Everyone knows that, basically. So I guess it's a bit of a head-scratcher as to how St Kilda retired Paddy and paid him out through the PA and all those types of things for his contract, and how Paddy got approval then to play at Sydney. I addressed this issue with Charlie Gardner in an interview, their footy manager on Sunday. He was good enough to talk to me, and he explained how Paddy consulted specialists, and it was a graded return. So basically, the AFL panel, a concussion panel, cleared Paddy, based, according to John Ralphlane, the Herald Sun, on advice that there wasn't an increased risk of future damage from further concussions. Now, that's a debating point in itself, but that was the advice, apparently. And then Paddy was graded through the VFL, then he was cleared for contact at the AFL level, and then it was a really considered process over the space of about 2.5 years with the Swans. I spoke to Alan Pearce, who's a prominent concussion expert here in Victoria. He encouraged McCartan over the weekend to consider at least retirement. He said that 3 concussions, Alan Pearce, can absolutely produce cognitive impairment. That's the latest research. And he's concerned about Paddy's health in 15, 20, 25 years down the track. He said there's no guarantees surrounding that, so Paddy needs to consider that. He also says the doctors need to be really honest with Paddy over the next period in terms of assessing all the protocols and working through those. A big question over the weekend is whether the AFL will step in. They do have the power to. They'll clearly be worried about the fact that it was innocuous, the incident. They'll be worried about participation. For example, mums and dads watch that going, well, I don't want little Johnny to play, because clearly the vision of Paddy in that state on Saturday night is distressing. And they're obviously in a situation now, the AFL, where they're confronted with concussion actions. And I've reported over the weekend, Daniel Venables also in the process of formally filing his papers as well. So Paddy's got the AFL obviously at a difficult time. In terms of what Sydney will do now, well, they'll follow the protocols, which are 12 days minimum. You'd have to think that's going to be significantly longer with Paddy, given his history. And he was still apparently having some symptoms yesterday. Having said that, Charlie Gardner said that Paddy felt relatively okay on Sunday. The issue with all this, Rudy, is that I think and get the strong impression that Paddy wants to play. Everyone admires that, but it's an awfully difficult situation from an AFL perspective, from a legal perspective, and obviously from a health perspective. So it'll all play out over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out the fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Now, a tough loss for Richmond on Saturday in the wet, Tommy, at the MCG against the Dogs. And the story's just gotten worse for them with injuries compounding.
Yeah, I'll start with this. So Richmond now 12th. They've got Sydney and Melbourne coming up. So they're clearly outside the eight. In terms of their player availability, it's suffered a big blow over the weekend. Tom Lynch has a fractured foot. It was sustained, I think, early in the second quarter, played out the game bravely. That requires surgery this week. Richmond can't put a time frame on that at the moment, but clearly a fractured foot is 6-8 weeks plus. And Lynch also, to exacerbate that problem, had foot issues in the preseason. So you'd think that that'll be taken into consideration. Toby Nankervis, their ruckman, has that dreaded syndesmosis. So they've suffered injuries on that front. Incidentally, Lynch is going to the tribunal this week for that bump, referred directly to that bump, which really is a test case now on how you can enter the marking contest. It's incidental to the fact that he'll play, because he can't play due to the injury, but that will be an interesting test case this week. I didn't think there was much in it. Anyway, we'll find out once the tribunal sits in terms of that case. Now, overlaying all that is some criticism of Tim Taranto and Jacob Hopper's now long-term contracts, both signed for 7-year deals. Footy Classified and Kane Corn showing some alarming stats last night. You know, they're ranked 9th in clearance differential, 13th in scores from scoring clearance differential, 17th in the centre bounce clearance differential. So you have to argue that perhaps those guys who are brought in for clearances at the moment aren't working. So that's one of Damien Hardwick's, I guess, conundrums he faces at the moment. Damien Hardwick, as an adjunct, was asked about the Tom Lynch situation over the weekend and whether he would be reported and referred to by the MRO. He had this to say on the incident, and you'll notice here a fair drive-by at the broadcaster.
Tom Lynch, are you worried he might be in a bit of trouble for that incident with Alex Keith?
What for?
Alex Keith was concussed.
Yeah, from what though?
There was an incident. There was a collision.
Yeah, what you're saying, an incident. I don't know what incident are you talking about, the one...
There was an incident in the first quarter.
Yeah, in a marking contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who knows?
There was raised on the broadcast that he might be in trouble.
It's raised on the broadcast, is it? So that's... But I've listened to the broadcast recently. They're not great.
You don't feel like there's anything in it then, judging by...
What, for being tough in the contest and... No, I wouldn't have thought.
Damien Hardwick there criticising the broadcaster, Rudy, which is the AFL's broadcaster, which provides... Well, both of them provide all the money. So anyway, that's up to Damien how he reacts there. I think he was just angry after a loss, Rudy.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Just a bit more to get through, Tommy, before we wrap up for the day. You just had something on Joe Danaher here.
Yeah, it went up I went to Brisbane on Thursday night for the Collingwood game, obviously in regards to the Crisp story, which we'll get to shortly in terms of the latest. Just noticed a couple of facts regarding Joe Danaher. He's living just outside Byron Bay. He's got a flat in Brisbane. I think he told Brisbane after the fact that he was basically moving down there. I wouldn't say they're alarmed by it, but it's a discussion point because it was brought up to me by a couple of people at the club, which I sort of thought was interesting. Anyway, that's a two-hour commute. So Joe did something similar here. He was living up at Daylesford when he was playing at the Bombers, but I can't imagine it's ideal living so far away from Brisbane, but I'll leave it up to Joe. He didn't do media post-game. I'm not talking about some type of extensive heart-to-heart interview. He just didn't do the on-ground with Richo and BT. You're meant to under the AFL rules. I know Dusty often doesn't do it as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if the AFL just informally sanded him out in regards to that this week, because I know he copped some criticism last week and there might be some context to that. But I just get the impression that even Brisbane wouldn't mind if he got a please explain for that, Rudy, because I think he just sort of rows his own boat up there.
Now, Collingwood always in the news. Jack Crisp will front the AFL integrity unit this week. Tommy, what will happen there?
Crisp has this integrity investigation overhanging his head. I'm convinced that it did impact Collingwood's preparation, despite Craig very diplomatically, that's Craig McRae, denying it post-game last week. There was cameras at the front and back of the Brisbane Hotel, including us. Crisp was there with his family travelling. So if there's, you know, suggestions of that sort of video when Crisp is in and amongst the group with his family, I can only imagine that had some type of impact on their preparation. Now there's this issue of whether he'll play St Kilda this week, facing this integrity investigation. I think he's facing a fine as long as he doesn't admit to the illicit drug use. So that video didn't conclusively show that. So hopefully it'll be a fine in regards to the respect and responsibility code in regards to the language that he used in regards to women. And hopefully it'll be a fine for his sake this week, and he will be right to take on St Kilda. I'll give you a nugget, Rudy. I detected when I was up in Brisbane that Collingwood is interested. Craig Kelly is very commercial. Their new CEO is interested in potentially taking one of their games interstate. Now, you call it selling or getting money from it. That would be highly profitable. They've got a lot of supporters nationally. So if they married that up with an existing game interstate, so if you took a team up to Brisbane, played them there, then went down the coast for the next week and played the Suns, Collingwood could turn that into a two-week sort of extravaganza and make a lot of money. They could also make a lot of money by taking a game to Perth. So they are exploring that at the moment, Rudy.
Your phone's ringing, Tommy, so I think that's our cue to get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday. You'll be in Adelaide.
Flying to Adelaide tomorrow morning, Rudy, for the Gather Round. It's the big AFL launch of Gather Round tomorrow night, where we should get some better guidance on what's happening with Gil McLaughlin's future. Some talk this weekend that he could stay for the rest of the season. So I'll have some more information on that. And I think it's awesome. It's almost like a finals round. 9 games in Adelaide this weekend, Rudy. I'll be there chasing all the stories.
Sounds like there'll be plenty of news to go on Thursday. Tune in to Triple M Socials for all your footy news, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Rudy.